You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Somebody's house. Hope you had a good weekend. Well, I went to the baseball game yesterday. Yeah. And son, daughters, ex-wife. Yeah, we all went to Anaheim Stadium. Had a good time. And watched that young kid from Japan who just came over, signed with the Angels. He's like Babe Ruth now. No kidding. Hit 3 home runs last week, won 2 base through, and pitched in 2 baseball games, won them both. Yesterday had a perfect game going for a while. Pretty impressive. He's, I don't know, 6 foot something in the 6th, 7th inning. Throwing, getting up there between 96 and 99 miles an hour. Yeah, legit. He's good. So, did that. Good time. And then did some reading, as I like to do. And but otherwise, I don't know if it's just that time of the year. I don't know that I'm affected by allergies, but I might be. So I've been fighting what I thought was a sinus infection, but I don't think it is. I think it's more allergies. So anyway, good Monday morning to you. Bunch of stuff in the news today, so we'll check that out. And then we're going to go down, a week ago? I played the interview from that we did with Stephen Foley. He's the amateur Irish historian it was his observation that really served as a catalyst for a series of events that would happen that that would ultimately lead to the re-identification of the guys who raised the second flag on Iwo Jima. Pretty interesting after all those years. But anyway, subsequent to Stephen Foley coming on the program, the director of the Marine Corps' Historical Division came on, and Matt Morgan, who produced the show that I think most of us saw on the A&E network, called The Unknown Flag Raiser at Iwo Jima, he had come on, and Charlie Niemeyer said that he would come on when they wrapped up their work, and so he did. And it's a very, very fascinating interview about the background of that picture and how many people, how often they get people that correspond and say, my dad was in that picture, and relate different things to him. So, and then you'll see how the Marine Corps went about trying to get their hands forensically around all the different images up there that day, as well as the past investigations that the Marine Corps had done and the conclusions that they had reached, the individual statements of the guys on that hill that day, to include John Bradley, who said that he was in that picture. So it's pretty fascinating. I thought it'd be It's interesting because of the, you know, you heard the Foley interview, you know, it's here's just a guy who has a hobby and notices something, I thought that initially he had seen how different Bradley's costume was, because there's a guy in Santa Barbara who makes a similar observation. There's a Matt Morgan said he ran across it as a technical advisor for the film Flags of Our Fathers when the prop guy came and said, the wardrobe guy came and said, hey, how do I dress Bradley? In the picture, he's dressed like this, but in these other pictures, he's dressed like this, so what do I do? What? Let me see that. And they were like, whoa. Well, yeah, but the Marine Corps investigated it, so, I mean, they must have got it right. I mean, it's not like they'd screw this one up. So, anyway. Yeah, how about that? Interesting stuff. So, you'll hear Charlie Niemeyer this morning here at the bottom of the hour. And then you'll hear Mike. After that. So, good Friday morning to you. We'll get things going here pretty quickly. And the United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Good morning. And this goes out dedicated to the memory of four Marines who lost their lives last week. Lance Corporal Taylor Conrad, Gunnery Sergeant Derek Hawley, First Lieutenant Samuel Phillips, and Captain Samuel Schultz were killed when their CH-53 Echo crashed in the vicinity of El Centro. So thoughts and prayers out to their family. This is dedicated to them.
My fellow Americans, Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination. Because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Clouds at 40 in Quantico. It's raining in 46 at Camp Lejeune. Clouds at 51 in Granbury, Texas. Warmed up in Montana. Clouds and 40 degrees in Montana. It is sunny in 58 at Pendleton. I'm sorry, at 29 Palms. It is sunny in 48 at Pendleton. Cooled off there a little bit. Cloudy, dark in 66 in Okinawa, so it's cooled off there a little bit. And Marja stayed about the same. Cloudy skies. Nighttime has fallen. 82 degrees in Marja. At the home of All Marine Radio, Costa Mesa, Newport Beach area, Southern California, the small craft advisory in effect. Looking for a high of 54 degrees today. On our way to 84. 80 tomorrow, and then 70 on Wednesday. 84, it's about 7 degrees warmer than we needed, okay? So, I don't know. We've been struggling with the thermostat this spring, so that struggle continues. We'll take a quick break. We'll check news headlines. Charlie Niemeyer of the Marine Corps Historical Division joined us. You'll hear that interview. Very cool interview, too, by the way, if you've never heard of it. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Yeah, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SimpleFiFund.org.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Okay, I don't want to play any music. I'm sick of the United States. I'm sick of the shit leaders we have in Washington, D.C. I'm sick of the Republicans. I'm sick of the Democrats. I'm sick of sequestration. I'm just sick of, I think our country's in a bad way. I think China is on the verge of eclipsing us and has laid the foundation for it. And we don't have enough leaders in this country to rally the leaders in the Pacific, in Europe, to create a vision that can sustain peace. And as a result, we're going to pay for it. Our kids are going to pay for it. And I think it's pathetic. I think it's absolutely pathetic. And it comes back to the concept of American politics, what American politics have become, the pathetic example that they are. And so I'm sick of the United States. Yeah. I mean, I love my country. I fought for it. I am sick of what I see. So, given that, let's check some news headlines. Marine Corps Times, death tolls rise for aviation incidents. 133 troops killed in 5 years. Okay, now, I don't know. So, where is that? That sounds like a lot. That's what, 20, how many years? 27, 28 times 4. That's 28.2 a year. Now, where is that relative to the historical baseline? But again, the article goes on to say that Marine Corps Times crash database shows manned warplane accidents have jumped 39%. Since the 2013 budget cuts. Now, you know, I play this on a daily basis, all right? But, you know, it's we're paying for this. We're paying for this gutless shit that's gone on in Washington, D.C.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars.
Okay, now, and so what he doesn't say is Congress in there. Very, you know, he blames it on those acts, right? But Congress is content with that, right? Designed as an Armageddon option that would never come to this. The first time was a big deal. After that, it's just the way it is. The result of that is that budget shrunk. There was no flexibility within the budget, so you could move money, and so you just lived with it. As a result, not able to buy spare parts, not able to procure new weapons at the rate that you would, given the rate you were wearing them out in Iraq and Afghanistan, which led to falling readiness. All right, so now we don't have as many planes to fly. At what point? What, 75% of the Marines? And this, I mean, the numbers, when I think of them, it's like, that can't be right. But it is. 75% of the Marine Corps Hornet inventory at one point was non-operational. I couldn't think of the word. Is that amazing? Yeah. And so what do we do? You don't get as many flight hours. We talked about the difference between being current, which, you know, commanders would say, well, in order to be current to fly the aircraft, you need about 6 hours a month. Pilots would tell you in order to be proficient, you need about 21 to 25 hours a month to be proficient, to be good at it. That's a big difference. 19 hours a month, right? Somewhere between 13 and 19 hours a month that is the difference between being, yeah, I can get this thing in the air and fly it around and land it, and being proficient with it, that I can do what I'm supposed to do in this thing. And so as a result, you have pilots that don't have enough reps. When you don't have enough reps, you're not able to function in a crisis as well. And so now as we begin to fly more, as some of these problems have begun to be mitigated, guess what? We have crews that don't have the repetitions to handle things that happen in the air. Now, again, you've seen a parade of people over the weekend saying that this is not a catastrophe, yada, 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 yada. And the truth in that is this. They don't know if it's a catastrophe. Okay? The investigations will all get to the bottom in each one of these events, right? And you're talking about a Thunderbird pilot, and I can say that, I mean, the maneuvers that they execute, as Kurt Knowles talked to us, I don't think it was Joey Peraza, it was somebody else that came on, and I just saw his name, I wish I can remember it. And I know when F-18 man hears this, he's going to be yelling at his radio. But you know, when you're in close proximity to the ground and you're going that fast, there's not a lot of time. And that simply can happen. Having said that, that's the Thunderbird's third accident in 2 years. That's too many. Then you need to, it's not, those things are not worth dying for. It's a goddamn exhibition. It's supposed to be a wow event. It's not supposed to be a death event. Then unscrew yourself, change what you're doing, make it safer so that you're not holding, you with these incredibly proficient pilots aren't holding memorial services for them for a stupid-ass exhibition. All right, so having said that, I go back to the investigations. AV-8B pilot taken off in Djibouti. He ejects on takeoff. Hard landing in Djibouti. And then the Marine Corps crash of a CH-53. Late last week, the Army helicopter and Apache crashed. Killing two soldiers that were in the aircraft in the Apache. So, not a good week for military aviation. When you look at the total mishaps, Marine Corps Times has Marine Corps statistics. Aviation mishaps, total mishaps. All right, Marine Corps 2011. Looks up to be about 56, or low 50s. 56 is probably too many. Maybe somewhere between 52 and 53, one of those numbers. 2012, 50. 2013, 57, I would say. I'm looking at a bar graph. That's why I'm estimating relative to the stadia lines. In 2014, right, sequestration kicks in. The Budget Control Act, continuing resolutions, and now what you're getting is more pilots who have less hours, and it's like a doctor. You've seen less cases, can't diagnose as well. 2014, it jumps to probably mid-60s, about 65. 2015, it looks 64. 2016, 80. 2017, 100. So this is just my opinion, and we're going to talk aviation readiness here. But from 2014 to 2017, in those 4 years, 14, 15, 16, and 17, you are paying for the hours and the readiness that you weren't able to provide. That's what you're paying for. So, and it might be in the terms of maintenance mishaps. So aviation readiness in the news. The other thing that's going to be in the news this week, that's going to be, in my opinion, extremely interesting, and that is Mark Zuckerberg on Capitol Hill. The whole notion of privacy. Do you have the right to privacy? And then Facebook's whole business model. In fact, you had the guy, Steve Wozniak, one of the co-founders of Apple, who resigned from the Facebook board and saying very publicly that, look, I'd rather pay for Facebook. They can get the revenue that way. But what they do is they bundle your information and they sell it, and that's how they make their money. So that'll be very interesting, the whole privacy thing. As Congress has public hearings, Zuckerberg's supposed to testify for 2 days on Capitol Hill. We'll see about that. And again, the range of topics will be privacy to content. There's a lot of conservatives that say, in fact, Matt Drudge on the Drudge Report. I don't really listen. I've seen these women before. I'm not that familiar with their content, but they're two everyday, black women. They go by the names, their show is called Diamond and Silk. Facebook has deemed their pro Donald Trump black, upper middle class women. And the couple bits I've seen them do are pretty funny. Their content has been deemed unsafe to the community. So that'll be very interesting to see Mark Zuckerberg take his Boy Scout act to Capitol Hill and see what that plays. And then it'll be interesting to see what Congress does and ultimately what the FTC does to Facebook for the privacy violations that have occurred there. So that's happened this week. Keep an eye on that. Also, a couple events that weren't connected that look connected. Syrians used gas. Syrian government used gas in another attack on its own people. President reacted to it. The Israelis launched an attack. Appears to be preemptive. But a lot of the things is the Israelis do, we don't really understand the provocations, but they do. Anyway, do you remember when they attacked that drone attack and all that? That the Iranians flew a drone inside Israel. Israel tracked it when it left its air facility called T4. And then in the ensuing fight, the Israelis used the drone incursion to hit a series of Syrian air defense targets. And I say Syrian, you should understand Iranian. And so what's happened in Syria is under the cloud of Russian-Syrian alliance, the Iranians have deployed their anti-aircraft batteries and are attempting to extend an umbrella into Syria to make the Israeli Defense Force, it's particularly the Air Force, to box them in. Now, there was a story a couple weeks ago that said that the Israelis flew F-35s over Iranian airspace, sending a message to them, specifically flew their F-35s in the vicinity of the Iranian nuclear facilities. There's evidently three sites in Iran. Supposedly, this is according to the Jerusalem Post, the Israelis flew their aircraft over that in a bit of message sending. So the Israelis launched a retaliatory attack. The initial news was that was the Americans, and supposedly it was a different event. However, the Secretary of Defense this morning in some audio said that in some kind of a quick media moment before or during a meeting, as they're prone to do, allow the media in and whatnot, he's quoted as saying that we won't rule anything out in terms of a retaliation. So Secretary of Defense, I think he's very adept at these kind of things. And he does very, very well in this realm. When he gets asked a question, he says, well, the first thing we're concerned about is the entire basis of Russia's involvement in Syria was to put an end to the, to put an end to the use of chemical weapons. That's what Russia was going to go there and do. However, this will surprise absolutely nobody, but guess what? That didn't happen. That's right. I know you're shocked. So, but that didn't happen. So we will see. And as soon as I get the audio teed up, I will have that for you. And then we talked about the Israeli strikes. The other homework assignment that I would give you, if you're looking for some current events to read, I would tell you to go ahead and check out China Belt and Road program. And just do a little reading about how China interviews capital around the world as loans, not as grants, not as aid, as loans with infrastructure as the collateral. And if it's defaulted on, the Chinese will take over that infrastructure. And they're doing it in Pakistan because Pakistan is the back door to China. So if you pull out your Google Earth map, China is extremely dependent on its eastern seaboard for access to markets and things like that. I want to say 80% of China's oil goes through the Malaccan Straits. That should somebody choose to shut it down, not too difficult to shut the Malaccan Straits down. So anyway, China using a lot of money that would come from the United States and their trade surplus with us, and their odds with India. And India is a big piece of land on the backside of China. So anyway, what you see is you see them improving stuff in Pakistan. Roads, a town of what that was 50,000 people, is scheduled to expand to be 2 million people. Yeah, based on what the Chinese want to do with the town and where they think it fits in their plan to open up Western routes to trade routes and then into Western China. And they're doing this all over the world. And then they're using that leverage, for instance, in the Solomon Islands. They've financed casinos, right? So now tourism goes up. We have casinos. People want to come. They love the beaches. They're, you know, you make it cheap. And then what they do is they use that influence and they say, hey, the Americans want to conduct these. The Americans want to suck. The Americans want to conduct these amphibious exercises. We, as your business partner, would rather not see that happen. Oh, okay, no problem, now that you're lining everybody's pockets. So, and again, it goes back to General Nello's comment that the Chinese are attempting to win without a fight. And again, this isn't aid, as we've seen in other parts of the world, but this is, these are loans, callable loans.
The U.S. capable of striking Assad's chemical weapons facilities?
Well, the first thing we have to look at is why a chemical weapon still being used at all when Russia was the framework guarantor of removing all the chemical weapons. And so working with our allies and partners from NATO to Qatar and elsewhere, we are going to address this issue.
Can you rule out taking action, launching airstrikes against Assad, Mr. Secretary?
I don't rule out anything right now. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
Mr. Secretary, can you confirm there was a chemical attack in Syria?
Over the weekend.
Thank you very much.
Introducing the Apoyo Loco. Yeah, introducing the El Pollo Loco 10-piece. Yeah, you can get that at your local El Pollo Loco. All right. You're going to hear right now Charlie Niemeyer. And in a great interview, Charlie's a very fun guy. And so you'll hear we start talking about, you know, he's a PhD. Marine Corps doesn't really like really smart people. And they get tagged with the tag genius. And we like hard work. And you can be smart, just don't act smart. So he's pretty funny about that. So, and then he's going to walk us through how the Marine Corps took this initial information, brought to them by guys like Stephen Foley, looked at it. And I will tell you this, if you look at the evidence, if you haven't, look at Iwo Jima flag raising, when you get a minute, Iwo Jima flag raising. And then type in Omaha, just the word Omaha, O-M-A-H-A. And if you want to type in World Herald after that, you can do that. So when you do that, you'll get a series of articles that come out. And if you click on them, and this goes back to 2014 when the article was published. But the significance of that this article is the images and the way it was written. When you hover over the images, the way they wrote the article, it magnifies the image itself, so you can see the specifics that Niemeyer is talking about. So it's pretty interesting. So things like, are your pants cuffed? Do you wear your leggings? Become instrumental. Do you have a helmet liner strap that's been cut in two hanging to the left side of your face? Those are the kind of questions that ultimately identify the people in this image. So without further ado, on a Monday morning, Charlie Niemeyer in gold from the All Marine Radio Vault.